This week, the European Union agreed to finance $500 million worth of weapons, which will go to Ukraine in response to Russia's invasion. Even Switzerland is sending help, and it's joining the EU's economic sanctions. Last night, in his State of the Union address, President Biden gave a nod to the famously neutral country.
Along with 27 members of the European Union, including France, Germany, Italy, as well as countries like the United Kingdom, Canada, Japan, Korea, Australia, New Zealand, and many others, even Switzerland, are inflicting pain on Russia and supporting the people of Ukraine.
Tobias Vestner is in Switzerland. He is with the Geneva Center for Security Policy. Tobias, welcome.
Hi, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
So I guess the question is why? Swiss neutrality goes back to the time of Napoleon. Why did this change happen now?
I think there are two reasons. I think one is definitely the globalized world. I think we're living in a different world than times of Napoleon, with information, but also with the COVID-19 pandemic, where people realized that certain threats or certain issues don't stop at national borders. But I think also the other one is just the shock that the war is happening actually in Europe. So really a wake-up call, something that nobody has expected. And people are just coming to the conclusion that you cannot be silent and do nothing about it.
It's interesting to me because Swiss neutrality stood up through all of World War II. Right. So, I mean, are you saying that today in this conflict, the average Swiss citizen just says, no, we're not going to put up with this?
I think that's absolutely the case. How far there is a feeling among citizens that we did something wrong in World War II, that I just cannot tell. It's maybe not so much about inflicting pain on Russia from a Swiss perspective. I think it's just the pure shock and the reaction of saying, we cannot accept this military aggression. So I think it's a very, very principled reaction, which I think also in the end maybe like a sea change to Swiss neutrality or how it's being applied, but also now in current politics, it can also strengthen actually the understanding of modern neutrality in global affairs.
Interesting. And I wonder if you think there's anything lost here, because Switzerland, as you know, has long seen great value in remaining neutral. It has been a mediator between countries in time of conflict and war. Do you think there's a chance of sacrificing some of that here?
I think there's a chance of sacrificing, but on the other hand, I think it can really strengthen actually neutrality, and I think it can strengthen the neutrality's credibility in Switzerland, because neutrality it's a means, it's not an end. So if you're looking at the Swiss constitution, it is really an instrument for Swiss foreign policy, and traditionally it was really the idea of we're small, we have a lot of great powers on the European continent. We want to stay out of their business to not get crushed. There was also an internal factor, of course, because we're a very diverse population with different languages. So basically, let's keep unity, assure unity by not taking sides. It's a political tool. It's an instrument. And that, however, leads you to a lot of gray area. And you have to apply it on a case-to-case basis.
If you zoom out, this is not just Switzerland. Germany is boosting defense spending and sending weapons into a conflict zone. Sweden is sending weapons. Ukraine is asking for EU membership. What does it tell you about the future of Europe as so many countries reconsider what had been key parts of their identity?
Yeah, I think this is a huge, huge, huge question. I think very important. I think on one hand, it's definitely Europe is waking up. I think it's realizing that actually hard power, military powers, that those are factors of international politics that have to be taken serious. But I think as you're saying, I think there are a lot of taboos that are really broken. I mean, using arms exports, financing arms sales. I mean, this is the first time that the EU does something like this. And I mean, we're talking of the EU that really struggled over so many years to get a common security and defense policy together. So I think it's going to have to evolve, etc. But I think also there are some, I'm not saying worrisome, but some important aspects that we have to pay attention to not become too militaristic, to not overreact. And I think that's always the case when you're surprised, you might overreact. There is a lot of uncertainties that we'll have to pan out.
Tobias Vestner at the Geneva Center for Security Policy, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.